Jeremy Gimpel.
Shalom, everybody, and thank you again for joining us. This is part three of our series, The Prophets of Israel Revealed on the Book of Joshua. So far, so good. Today, we're going to take our first step, really delving into the text, really understanding the book. But before we do that, there is one important, critical rule that we need to know about prophecy. Prophecy can only be achieved in the land of Israel. For a Jew to fulfill his spiritual potential, for him to really receive real revelation, prophetic revelation, it cannot be achieved anywhere else other than the land of Israel. The Mechilta, a midrash on Parshat Bo, says as follows. Until Eretz Israel was chosen, all lands were fit for prophetic dialogue. Once Eretz Israel was chosen, all of the lands were excluded. As proof that the divine presence is not revealed outside the land, it says in Jonah chapter 1, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah said, I will go outside the land where the divine presence is not revealed. The Mechilta says prophecy can only be achieved in the land of Israel. The first book of prophecy is the story of inheriting the land of Israel. That's how we are introduced to prophetic writings. It's how we're introduced into the potential messianic era. We received the Torah for Moses. He brought us until the end. Now we're about to enter literally into paradise. How does it begin? It begins with the land of Israel. In the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 11, verse 12, it says, the land of Israel, Eretz Asher Hashem Elohecha Doresh Ota, is a land that Hashem, your God, is always seeking after. Tamid einei Hashem Elohecha ba mireshit hashana ve'ad acharit hashana. The land, Hashem's eyes are upon it from the beginning of the year until the year's end. There's something about the land of Israel that is categorically different than all the other lands in the world. America's a great place to live. Canada's a fine place to live. Mexico may be a little bit shaky right now, but all in all, it's probably a nice place to live. All of the places are a nice place to live. Categorically, though, there is something different, qualitatively different about the land of Israel. And that is that the eyes of Hashem are on the land of Israel to the exclusion of all other lands. Meaning, every other country around the world has its own ministering angel that is in charge and involved with what's happening, the occurrences of that land. The land of Israel is something totally different. The providence in the land of Israel is literally from Hashem. There's no intermediaries. There are no angels. Your life is guided directly and personally by the creator of the universe. That's why the Hasidic masters like Rabbi Nachman said, you can't really have real emunah outside the land of Israel. The land of Israel is the portal to our connection to Hashem. That's why the prophetic writings start with entering into the land of Israel. That is our message for every generation. What do the Chachamim say in the Tosefta and Avodah Zarah? Listen to this, folks. Yeshivat Eretz Israel, settling the land of Israel, shekula keneged kol hamitzvot shebatorah. Settling the land of Israel is weighed against all of the combined commandments of the entire Torah. Imagine this for a moment. You have a scale, and there are big mitzvahs, there are small mitzvahs, hard mitzvahs, easy mitzvahs. You take all of the commandments of the entire Torah, and you put them on one side of this scale. And you put settling in the land of Israel, living in the land of Israel, on the other side of the scale, and they're balanced. Living in the land of Israel is equal to the combined sum total of all of the commandments of the Torah. Now keep this. We have first that the divine providence of the land of Israel is direct. We have now our sages telling us that somehow living within the land of Israel is weighed against the entire commandments of the entire Torah. Now look at Masechet Ketubot, Tractate Ketubot, page 110, Amud Bet, second page. Kol Hadar Be'eretz Yisrael, all those who live within the land of Israel, Dome Kemi She'yesh Lo Eloah, it is as if he has a God. Ve'kol Hadar Michutz Le'eretz, all of those who live outside the land, Dome Kemi She'ein Lo Eloah, is as if he doesn't have a God. All those who live inside the land of Israel, it is as if they have a God. And all of the people who choose to live outside the land of Israel, the Gemara says, it's as if they don't have a God. Ve'od amru, ve'kol hadar bechutz la'aretz, ke'ilu oved avodah zarah. All of the people who live outside the land of Israel, it's as if they're worshiping idols. Our sages even suggest that one should always live in the land of Israel, even in a city whose majority is idolaters. And he should not live outside the land of Israel, even in a city with a majority of Jews. Now imagine that. Hashem is telling us, I would rather you live inside a community, a neighborhood that are worshiping the Molech. They're taking their children, putting them on the altar, and burning them to some satanic god, sending their children off to blow up with some satanic form of worship. I would rather you live in the middle of Satanicville, Paganville, Ramallah, wherever. No Jews, no Torah. You're inside Paganville, Israel. I'd rather you live inside a city that has a majority of idolaters than live in Borough Park. That's what it says, than live in Muncie. I don't want you to live in a Jewish community in Denver, Colorado. I want you to live in Israel surrounded by idolaters. Now, why? What is going on here in the land of Israel? And what is the first message of Yahushua? A land that Hashem sees, his divine providence, living in the land of Israel is weighed against the entire Torah. Why? What are the commandments of the Torah? This is going to be deep. A lot of people think the commandments of the Torah, well, it's what we got to do. We're commanded. It's a burden on our shoulders. We carry this law around with us, and it's our duty to fulfill these commandments. The truth is, mitzvah and commandment, that's not a good translation. Mitzvah does not mean commandment. Mitzvah comes from a root. And that same root is in the word tzavta, which means to join. Mitzvah and tzavta are interrelated. Tzevet is another word connected to the word mitzvah, which means team, to partner with, to join. Understand what is a commandment. What is a mitzvah? It is a tool that Hashem gave us to connect to Him. It's a vehicle, a physical way that we can connect to the infinite, a physical way we can connect to the spiritual, to infuse the physical with spirituality, to elevate it in a way that we're able to connect directly to the creator of the universe. What is Eretz Yisrael? You're already connected. You live in the land of Israel. You breathe the air of the land of Israel. You eat from the fruits and the grains of the land of Israel. Your body becomes the land of Israel. What happens then? You are connected immediately to God's providence. It's weighed against the entire Torah, because the entire Torah, all of the commandments of the Torah were given to us in order that we plug into and connect to Hashem. Living in the land of Israel, Hashem's eyes are on the land of Israel from the beginning of the year to the year's end. You're already plugged into the land of Israel. That's why prophecy can only be achieved in the land of Israel. It's the only place where there's no static between us and Hashem. Outside the land of Israel, all of a sudden, you try to tune in to that prophetic frequency. You try to receive Hashem's messages, and it's a lot harder. Here in the land of Israel, all of a sudden, all of that static is removed, and immediately revelation comes to you. Now we open up to the first chapter in the book of Yahushua. And within that chapter, the first chapter of the land of Israel, encoded within the first chapter is the entire book. Encoded within the first book of the entire Tanakh, or at least the entire Navi, is the secret of the entire Navi. The first chapter of the book of Joshua, there is a taina. Someone could claim that it's the most important chapter in the entire Tanakh, or at least in the entire Navi. And there are two messages. They're very clear. I didn't make them up. They come right out at you at the very first chapter. And it's that first chapter that leads us to the rest of the prophets of Israel. We open up the first chapter in the book of Joshua, and what do we see? Moshe passes away, and Hashem comes to Yahushua and speaks to him. In verse 4, verse 3, every place upon which the sole of your foot will tread, I have given to you as I have spoken to Moses. Hashem promises the land of Israel to the Jewish people. The land of Israel is the first thing promised to us in the Navi. We're not here yet speaking about the Torah. We're not speaking about being good people. We're not speaking about receiving prophecy. The first thing that's promised to us in prophecy is what is inheriting the land of Israel. That's why all the people that are doubting, that have questions, is the land of Israel? Is it not the land of Israel? Are we entering into the Messianic era? Are we not entering into the Messianic era? How important is it for me to support Israel? How is it important for me to move to Israel? Folks, the first commandment given to the first Jew, Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha, go to the land of Israel. The base covenant with the Jewish people in Genesis chapter 17 is a base covenant with the land of Israel. Exodus chapter 3, Hashem tells Moses, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt. Why? To bring you into the land of Israel. Not to give you the Torah, not to give you the prophets, not to give you biblical feasts. I'm going to bring you out of Egypt to bring you to the land of Israel. The prophets open up with what? Hashem's promise to Yahushua, saying, I am fulfilling the promise that I made to Moses, and it's the same promise that I made to Abraham. It's the same promise I made to Isaac and Jacob, and it's to give you the land of Israel. And what is the secret to inheriting the land of Israel? What is the secret to ushering in the Messianic era? It says, verse 6, be strong and courageous, for it is you who will cause this people to inherit the land that I have sworn to their fathers to give to them. Only be very strong and courageous to observe, to do according to the entire Torah that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not deviate from it to the right or to the left, in order that you may succeed wherever you will go. Listen to the Torah. Listen to Hashem's voice. Shema Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Listen to the words of the Torah. Why? It's not a means and an end. It's just a means to an end. It's a means to connect to Hashem. It's a means to inherit the land. Hashem is saying, you want to inherit the land? You want to be blessed? You want to live in peace? You want to live in harmony? This is the way to do it. Listen to the Torah. Only be very strong and courageous. This book of the Torah shall not depart from your mouth. Rather, you shall contemplate it day and night in order that you observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way successful, and then you will act wisely. If you listen to Hashem's voice, then you will succeed, and listen, then you will act wisely. Now I want you to take that phrase right there and put it in the back of your mind and keep that in your thoughts as we go through the book of Yahushua. So many people think that Yahushua was this incredible military strategist, but if you open up and you analyze the book closely, you'll see that only when Yahushua listens to Hashem does he act wisely. All of the wars, all of the decisions, all of the strategy, all of it only come when listening to Hashem. When Yahushua acts on his own, if it's with the Gibeonites, if it's when going against Ai, without Hashem's guidance, there is no success. His wisdom, his military brilliance only comes through listening to the word of Hashem. Because within the land of Israel, we're able to finally listen. We're able to receive revelation. The first message of the books of the prophets is to listen. Now, how do I know this? When you break up the book of Yahushua, when we take it from a bird's eye view and we look at how the chapters are divided, the stories of the book of Yahushua are divided as follows. We have chapter 1 to chapter 4. Chapter 1 to chapter 4 is the crossing of the Jordan, entering into the land of Israel. Chapter 5 to 8 is the story of Jericho, the Battle of Ai, the Brit Milah, and Har Gerizim. We're going to get to all of this, but listen. We're taking now a bird's eye view, because when you see the structure of the book, what you're able to do is unlock the code of biblical pattern. Hashem reveals his secrets to us through patterns encoded within scripture. And without seeing the text in its entirety, we won't pick up on the pattern. And what I'm telling you, the first message given to us in the first chapter of the book of Joshua is actually given to us at the very beginning of every single break in the book. We have now chapter 9, the story of the Gibeonites, the Givonim, chapter 10, the War of the Kings of the South, and chapter 11, the War of the Kings of the North. Now, why do I divide it like this? Look at what happens. At the end of chapter 1, what does the verse say? Any man who will rebel against your utterance or will not listen to your words, and whatever you may command him will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Chapter 1, going into chapter 2, ends with the words, everyone will hear you. Everyone will yishama. Everyone will listen. We then open up to chapter 5, which starts the story of Jericho. And what happens with the story of Jericho? How does this break within the book start? Vayehi kishmoa kol malchei ha'emori. It happened that when all the Amorite kings who were on the western side of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings who were by the sea heard, listened, shomea, vayehi kishmoa kol malchei ha'emori. In the Hebrew, it's much clearer because it's literally the very beginning of the chapter. That's the beginning of chapter 5. Now we go to chapter 9, the story of the Givonim, the story of the Gibeonites. What does it say? Vayehi kishmoa kol hamilachim asher be'ever hayarden. And when all the kings that were on the western side of the Jordan heard, listened, vayehi kishmoa is the beginning of chapter 9. You open up to chapter 10, lo and behold, what does it say? Vayehi kishmoa Adonai Tzedek, melech Yerushalayim. And it was when Adonai Tzedek, the king of Jerusalem, heard. We open up to chapter 11. Do we see a pattern, folks? Vayehi kishmoa Yavin, melech Hatzor. When Yavin, the king of Hatzor, heard, when he listened. Folks, friends, my loved ones, listen. The entire secret to inheriting the land of Israel is to listen to Hashem. If we tune our hearts into listening to what Hashem wants from us, that will be our success. Our success has nothing to do with our alliance within the United Nations or our relationship with the United States of America. Our success is our integrity with God. If we listen and we stay true to the principles and the values laid out in the Torah that Hashem gave us, that is the key to our success. It's undeniable. That is the pattern revealed to us that we're now unlocking. Kishmoa, that is the secret, because prophetic revelation is revealed to us. The message of Hashem is revealed to us through the land of Israel. It's weighed against the entire Torah because we're already plugged in to the source of all life, to the soul of all souls. The second half of the first chapter talks about inheriting the land of Israel. Reuven, God, and the half of Menashe, those three tribes in the book of Deuteronomy, we're told that they settle outside the land of Israel. They say, we like this land well enough. They swear to Moses that they will go into battle head first, help the Jewish people united, conquer the land, and then return to their soil. The second half of the books of the prophets are telling us the secret to inheriting the land of Israel. The secret to our success is national unity. You look at what the first message is. The first message isn't saying the rich people now that have settled their land, that have their livestock, that have their farms going, you live in Tel Aviv in your fancy apartments and just leave the poor people of Sderot. You see the people of Sderot that are suffering? It's the rich people, the people that are settled, that need to be on the front lines fighting for those people in Sderot. This is a message not just to the people in Tel Aviv. It's to the people that are settled in settlements. It's to the people that are settled. It is our obligation, and it will unlock blessings upon blessings if we remain united in the land of Israel. And we can see this biblical proof, in my opinion, in the most powerful way in the book of Kings. Chapter 18, we see the story of Ahab. Ahab was probably the worst king of all kings of Israel. He was so bad that God had to bring out the big guns, Elijah and Elisha, to go and deal with this king. But we see in chapter 18, there's a story where Obadiah, his servant, who feared God tremendously, was able to hide 100 prophets from his wife, Jezebel, that was killing all the prophets of God. Our sages teach us a remarkable lesson here. They say Ahab was an evil king, and yet still all of his military victories, it's such a contradiction. How do we deal with it? How could such an evil king expand the boundaries of Israel and win war after war? Our sages tell us because in the times of Ahab, and Ahab himself had Ahavat Israel, they had the love of Israel, they had the unity of Israel. That's how Obadiah was able to hide those 100 prophets. No one spoke Lashon Hara. No one ratted him out. The Jewish people as a whole helped each other. The king himself worried about the nation. They were united, even though spiritually they were the first king to introduce idolatry into the land of Israel. What was the secret of his success? Jewish unity. That is the secret of our success here in the land of Israel. It's the opening of the Tanakh. It's the beginning of the book. And as we look through the entire book of Joshua from a bird's eye view, we hear one message. It's to follow the Torah and to live in love and harmony with each other. If we do that, we're on our way to the Messianic era. Thank you again for joining us. I'm Rabbi Jeremy Gimpel. This is the end of part three. Part four is on our way, and we're going to cross the Jordan into the land of Israel. Thank you for joining us. Shalom from Jerusalem.